Hello everybody, this is David Collins, and this is BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy! Alright, let's start things off from a rather classic PC game where you go around and shoot demons. Yes, I know we're sticking with highly original video game concepts for this episode, and in this case, apparently the tagline for this game is Heaven Has a Hitman. I didn't think Heaven was meant to appeal, was meant to agree with killing, but I suppose you're destroying demons, so in most fiction it's kind of okay if Heaven destroys demons. Let's just play the music. Sound good? That was a nice way to start things off, and that was Switch, or S-Switch, so I think it means witch. It was composed by Marcin Sedin-Czarski, and it is from Painkiller, and it's from the video game Painkiller, developed by People Can Fly, which is a Polish games development company, which explains why I had trouble pronouncing the music composer's name. Painkiller is kind of an old flat, you know, a bit of a callback to earlier, you know, games where first-person shooters were a little more simple and, you know, it didn't deal with moral choice and stuff. Basically, you go around and, like I said, you shoot demons. It's actually kind of a funny game because both the box art, the marketing, and the cutscenes trying to make this big deal about the story about the game, about this tormented person who was in a tragic car accident that lost his wife and suddenly finds himself caught between the boundaries of heaven and hell. I mean, they even had some online cartoonists make a whole comic book that was a prologue for this, trying to focus on his torment about how he was caught by angelic forces. But when you actually get to the game itself, you're just shooting demons. Like, that's it. There's not even much of a plot reason. There's not even much connection between what you do in the game and all the storyline outside. You just find yourself in one scenery where you shoot demons and another one where you shoot demons. And there are a lot of different demons too. There's some of these big imposing ones and then small little fast ones. And you got these really nice array of weaponry too. I think my favorite gun is one that shoots just, you can, it basically shoots a log at your enemies, just like freaking caber tossing, and also a couple of another interesting one that kind of like, you know, is like a hook shot or something. It's like you shoot it towards it and it pulls the enemy towards you and stuff. So it's all just a, it's all over the top, pretty kind of cartoony, a lot of like blast and a lot of fun. And it's just, and of course, the more you shoot, then they spawn these soul or whatever thingies and you pick them up and then you become powerful for a bit. So it's all pretty much fun. It's, and the levels are interesting too. I mean, at the first it seems like they're actually doing a theme, like, you know, a graveyard and a big cathedral and stuff. But then when you get to the next set of levels, it's like suddenly you're in an opera house, and then you're, then there's this pretty creepy level called an insane asylum, and then suddenly you're in a bridge level, and it's like they're just kind of like, at that stage they're just saying, coming up with cool ideas for levels and just putting them one after another, and there's not really any connection between the two, which is just how games used to be. You know, that's how games used to be. You'd be fighting through this gigantic bubbling volcano and then suddenly find yourself in a nice landscape or something. I mean, I think back Sonic 3 was actually different in the fact that it actually gave explanations for how you were suddenly going from like a forest level to a flying fortress level. But for the most of the time, you know, games, whether they shoot platformers or first-person shooters, you know, the classic style is you just have this cool level and then the next one and there'd be no transition. And basically Painkiller is kind of funny because it goes back to that sort of trend. I suppose at this time, I mean, I've played enough of these sort of games before, so I suppose some of you out there might be wondering, you know, what exactly is the appeal of games like these? I mean, why do you want to go around killing stuff? And that's actually, it's not about killing stuff, right? It never, unless you're really psychotic, but let's not go into there right now. It's more about, a lot of these games, sometimes they're called ego shooters, but they're about a sense of empowerment. They're about being thrown into a circumstance where everything is against you, but you have the power to defeat them all. And sometimes it's harsh, and it's here's where it gets kind of funny. Sometimes it can be really hard and you'll just be frustrated, but other times it's kind of easier. And it's just, it's all about, you know, defeating your environment, doing what it takes, you know, finding out the right thing, the right array of weaponry, you know, blasting them. It can get mindless, but there's just a constant set of feedback that you're actually doing something, you're progressing, you're going from one level to another, you're making your way through the game. And this is amplified if the game is like different locales and different settings, you know. But I don't know, I just, when I think about these, it's hard to, you tend to think back of the original Doom games, and it's just, you know, you'd have levels and you'd make your way through it and all that, you'd blast through and leave a bloody trail in your wake. But it would just be about, it'd be about dealing with the circumstances, instant feedback, and, you know, there's a real visceral thrill to it. And of course, a lot of games like this have unfortunately caused people to say that games are demonic, or that, especially Doom actually threw in some demonic imagery, so it kind of made them a lot easier to say a game's demonic if it's got demonic imagery. But I mean, like, we've moved on. I mean, like I said, Painkiller and a lot of other games are demonic, but people aren't controversing about those. But the point is, it's like, a lot of people just complain about it. And do you want to know my answer to that? I think, you know, okay, you're right. I mean, I know it's controversial, but the simple fact is, no, you don't want to spend your entire time playing video games. Life has far more other experiences out there. Life has many other, even just other video games, which can have such a breadth of emotion or music or emotional, or emotion. But even outside it, I mean, there's the sphere of video games, there's the sphere of music, there's a sphere of books, there's the sphere of movies, and then there's the whole world itself. And so, yes, there's a huge amount of experiences and things out there, and you shouldn't be restricted to one single music or one single type of video games. So if you think kids should be raised on violent video games, then of course not. Not they shouldn't be raised on any single thing in particular. And by getting so many different points of view of the world around them, they can make up their own mind and form their own picture of what the world consists of. And I, for my own part, I try to take in a lot of influences. Video games aren't my entire life. I mean, there's this, of course, broadcasting on the radio, which I really, really love. So thank goodness I've got this. And if anyone else wants to do the same thing, I would recommend applying to your local community radio station and seeing what you can contribute. But I mean, and of course, books as well. When I was growing up, it wasn't just video games. I loved books. And it actually gave me more insight into video games and the video games books, because I realized that while video games, you know, taught you about action and doing stuff, books got you a little more understanding the world around me. And it helped me appreciate a little more about how simplistic a lot of things in video games are. So, yes, I think having a diverse range of experience is important, but in order to be any diverse experience, it calls a lot of components, and one component of the diverse range of experiences that are available to me are, you know, are video games that have strong emotion and that you just blast through. And Painkiller is one of those sorts of games. I mean, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece or anything, and to be honest, I didn't think it was quite as fluid as it could be, because you have to keep waiting for the spirit things to spawn. But, I mean, it's a fun game. I'm not going to pretend that it's anything more than it is, and naturally, if that was the only sort of video games out there, it would be terrible. But, you know, obviously I take this just one small item in the vast array of experiences of both video games and in the vast array of experiences of life itself. Okay, that turned out to be a little deeper than I wanted it to be, but sure. Gotta take your insights where you can get them. I'm gonna throw out a music from a completely different sort of game right now, and hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
And that music was from a great game called Octodad. It was the music there was composed by Seth Parker, and it was developed by the DePaul Game Experience, which actually operates as a DePaul University, which is in Illinois, America. Now, you're probably wondering, this is actually a free game. You can download it online. It's octodadgame.com, or just Google Octodad, which pretty much everyone does because people don't really type in internet addresses anymore. But Octodad is a fun game. It's, essentially you are a devoted, loving husband and a great father who cares for his wife and children, and you are an octopus. And nobody knows this, despite the fact that your head is quite clearly that of an octopus, despite the fact that your feet and your hands are most quite clearly tentacles, nobody knows you're an octopus, and you must do everything in your power to keep it that way. Yes. Obviously, you can see that this game doesn't quite take itself too seriously. It's kind of got this whole vibe that kind of feels a little like 50s American suburbia family mixed in with some sitcom cartoons. It's all just something that's just a bit of fun. But your entire thing is just to, you're trying to work on your secret thing in your underground, in the basement. But in order to deal with that, you just first must attend to the needs of your family by just, like, doing your kitchen chores, which involve cleaning up the kitchen. And then proving to your little son that everything is going fine. Your son and daughter apparently are completely human, and making sure that your daughter gets a good night's sleep. So all these like nice little familiar, family events, except for the fact that you're an octopus. And you also don't have very good control of any of your limbs, which makes it even more. Most of the time a game will be about, like pressing WASD or the arrow key or moving the analog stick in the direction you want to go, and you'll go there. This is a case where you basically have to use one mouse button controls each, foot, and you have to click each one in turn and move your leg and then let it down again. It's actually a game that part of the game is how tricky it is to control the main character. And then you press the middle mouse button, and then suddenly you're controlling a single tentacle. You have to move it around and try to grab stuff. So the whole game is actually a game. It's like an interactive slapstick thing, because you're trying to move around, but it makes the game so easy to actually hit stuff or bump stuff off or accidentally swipe stuff. And sometimes that's exactly what the game wants you to do, like destroy a block of towers or just grab absolutely everything in the fridge and just throw it out of the fridge and on the base of cleaning the fridge or moving the items into the kitchen sink and stuff. It's just kind of funny, the whole thing. I mean, it would almost be kind of frustrating, but it's just funny that you're doing all these like pretty bizarre things while the characters are looking on and treating the whole thing as normal. And that's what I love about the game. It's got a sense of humor. It's a nice circumstance. And it also occurs to me, I mean, I know this game is just, tongue very, very much firmly in cheek here, but it reminds me how a few games are like set in a very mundane, common real world locale. I mean, I remember the games Fahrenheit and Heavy Rain were a bit different because there were a couple of scenes there that would just take place in just a normal little house and you'd just be doing very mundane things. And I mean, that's even in both games, actually, both Octodad and Heavy Rain, there's one point where you have to get a child toy at their toy and bring it to them. But I just kind of like it when games do that. I like it when there's a little more mundane things, when you see something that you may have seen a lot of times in real life, and then but very much mundane, suddenly brought into the video game experience. And both Octodad and Heavy Rain do that, but in gigantically different ways. The game is a little rough around the edges. The ending isn't quite finished, but I like the game, and good sense of humor. The students obviously put a lot of energy, and there is a sequel coming. Yes, a sequel coming for Windows, Linux, and Mac, and hopefully it'll be very, very good. I certainly intend to play it. I don't know whether it'll be free like the first game, but regardless, the first game of Octodad will always be free, so I recommend anyone who wants to go ahead and play it. And now for another track. This is from quite a fun game. Here we go.
Oh,
And what you just heard was A Storm Is Coming, composed by Matteo Pascula, and from Commandos 2, which is developed by Pyro Studios. Commandos 2 is a very, very engaging and fun game. It's essentially you are controlling this troop of commandos. Each one has their own little character and personality. For instance, you've got the Green Beret, who is Irish, and yes, got all that. And you've got you've also got this little guy who can run about. You know, you've got two French guys, you've got an Australian, a British sharpshooter, and one of the French guys is like a master of disguise. And essentially, they've all got various different abilities. And what happens is you've basically got this mission, which is this really big like map laid out. You sort of have an angled view down on it. Now, these maps are beautifully painted. I mean, they're very engaging. They're all set around the time of the Second World War, basically. They're all missions. So some of them are like in France or over the River Kwai. Yes, that's a whole reference. If you know your film or historical knowledge, yes, that's basically what it's relating to. And essentially, it's all you're thrown down or Pyong. You're thrown into all these, and you've got to accomplish these objectives. And the thing is, each member of your team can do its own set of actions. Now, there's a general set of actions that pretty much all of them can do, but each of them has their own level of expertise. So you have to move them around the map in various different. And to try to coordinate them so that they all like make it through the level and deal with all the German guards or enemy troops and basically make it through and complete their objectives, be it to be blow up a bridge or put mines and blow up this whole submarine, or this other mission where you basically have to try to get this local military dictator to come out so you can assassinate him with yes I know and just basically be able to make your way through the level. And I think it's a fun game because it makes you think. You have a very low level control. You have, you know, very detailed level of control, and you can move your troops around in various ways. And to top it off, you also get to there's also a lot of fun little tricks you can do. For instance, you can like throw down a packet of cigarettes, and one of them will walk over to it. Troops and pick it up, and then you can knock them unconscious. It's not just about killing, you can actually knock them unconscious, and then you can tie them up, and then you can steal their uniform. Now, the uniform will usually take a while, you know, if you wear their uniform too much, someone will recognize you, but then you can just grab another uniform. It kind of works like that. So you spend most of the time just going around, just trying to disguising yourself as troops, trying to make your way around, and then in the meantime try to deal with all the enemy troops in your way. And you've got a lot of little details. Sometimes you can put some sleeping potion wine and leave it out for them to drink, or sometimes one of the guys can disguise himself as commanding officer and then tell one of the troops, no, go over that way, and then they'll go over that way and you'll knock them out from behind. And sometimes you'll use the sharpshooter and take down things. It's really involved. There's such a level of detail, and it really, really feels very immersive as well. Actually, it's kind of a funny game, actually. I also like the way, of course, that it's not just about, you know, killing them. You can also, you know, there are also ways that you can knock them unconscious and tie them up. The only problem is that if another troop discovers them tied up, they'll untie them and they'll go and attack you. So I figured the only way you could really get around this is to actually, you know, strip them of their uniform so they're just in their boxer shorts, and then dress up as them or just throw the uniform away. And that way, if they were tied up, if they were discovered, they'd be awake, but they wouldn't really be able to do anything. In one mission, I went through the entire mission doing this. I mean, I tried to just, I don't like killing, so I didn't even, and even though it would make the key, I just went through, you know, knocking out and tying up and, you know, stripping as many German soldiers as possible. And then it came to one point of the game where I could not escape this discovery. So suddenly they were discovered, and then the alarm was raised, and they suddenly found out all these troops, and they started untying all these, you know, German troops and their boxers, and then they went and tying more. And then suddenly, before I knew it, the entire map was flooded with German troops running around in their boxer shorts. It was kind of surreal, but but generally the game is a little more serious and more in-depth than that. It's great. You can drive vehicles, you can snipe, you can even go underwater in sections. It's just a great level of absorption. It really demands your concentration as you gradually, bit by bit, complete your objective and make it through the beautiful maps and try to finish it off. And the feeling you get when you finally got the last thing, or distract the guard, or try to formulate the exact strategy to make sure that next guard, either by throwing gas grenades or the tanks blow up. It's just a beautiful game in that it just is so involved. And like I said, I give it my full recommendation. All right. I'll finish off with one more track by the game. This is called what I played just there was A Storm Is Coming. I'll just play Deployment. This has been BitNote. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.